On this episode of AV Week, what does the AV market look like over the next 2 or 3 years? Are we going to grow or stagnate? How do you sell to CIOs and CTOs? And what would you change about the pro AV market? All that and more next on AV Week.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
AV Week is brought to you by our fine group of underwriters, companies like Crestron Electronics. This is AV Week, episode 269, recorded Friday, October 21st, 2016. Belly to belly sales.
Ready.
AV Week.
Performing scan.
Week.
Online.
This is AV Week. This is AV Week, your weekly wrap-up of audiovisual news and information. My name is Tim Albright. I am your host. With us to talk about said news and information, my buddy, pal, and a guy I call mentor, and I have to pay him for said service. His name is Brock McGinnis. How are you, sir?
I am well, Tim. Nice to be back on AV Week.
Oh, thank you so much. He is from Westbury National, and I guess technically this we could call this the Canadian show. Because our other guest, his name is Ed. Ed Chaudhry from Avonview is in the Great White North. And thank you to Avonview. They're one of our underwriters. Welcome, Ed.
Hi, Tim, and nice to be here again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, both of you. Real briefly, our condolences to Mr. McGinnis on the exiting of the Blue Jays in the ALCS, but they at least got second place, so...
Second place is good. And yeah. As Canadians, we're comfortable with second place.
Especially in baseball. Not in hockey.
It also gives us a lot of free time to do things like, come on AV Week.
Well, thank you.
If there was a game on now, you wouldn't have a lot of our attention.
That is fairly accurate. All right. A couple things this week. First and foremost, this is from newsmakers.com, and being the guy who pulls the stories, it's interesting where some of my stories come from sometimes. This was one it came out of an interesting website, newsmaker.com.au, so Australia, but they're looking at different market reports for the pro AV industry, and they have things like global markets by displays, acquisitions. They name a couple of the key manufacturers as well as a couple of the key integrators in the industry. They look at it from both a global as well as a U.S.-based and Canadian-based standpoint. But they're looking at it through 2020, and that's why I wanted to grab both Brock and Ed on this. Brock from the integration side, Ed from the manufacturer side. And Brock, I'm going to take it from you to kick this off. Where do you see our market going? And this can be globally or this can be, North American based. But where do you see us going in the next 3 to 4 years? Are we growing? Are we stagnant? Or are we shrinking back?
So I think that that Ed, as a manufacturer and a global manufacturer, probably has a better 10,000 foot view than I do on this kind of question, Tim, because I tend to focus much more on my local market, my regional market, what's happening in Canada, the United States. We don't see the market getting smaller. It is very, very difficult these days for anyone to have a meeting without a display. And as soon as you need a display, you need all the bits and pieces that connect whatever device your content is on to your display. You need to be able to communicate over a phone line or a network line with people in other meeting rooms and other cities. And at least for us, we see this just growing and growing and growing. It's a great time to be in the audiovisual industry.
All right, Ed, Brock mentioned it. You've got a 10,000 or 20,000 foot view. Where do you see us going?
Well, first of all, I agree with Brock. It's a great time to be in the AV industry. And you can see it from 10,000 feet away, and you can also see it from 10 miles away up in the sky, that it is only growing. And we see the Canadian and the U.S. market. We also see a lot of international innovators that we work with, and it's all in the up and up. One interesting fact that I've noticed is that a lot of integrators are merging to become bigger.
Yeah.
Because the market is there, and there needs to be a more well-rounded player to cater to all these companies and all their requirements. Whether it's AV is a big field with whether it's conferencing, boardroom solutions, signage, a lot of collaboration is just increasing. With all the services and apps and everything that's available now to us, the information highway has, the AV industry is becoming that conduit to expose and to bring that all that visual experience to the customer. And I think it's only growing. I've seen a lot of people, companies that are getting together, buying other companies out, just to cater to the growth. So that's what we've seen, and we're working with people worldwide. And the type of applications that are coming are phenomenal. The ideas that are out there, that people, what they want to do with a simple display, and how they want to manage their business lives and their signage lives with this is phenomenal. It's just great.
Brock mentioned, Ed, that there's not a meeting now without some sort of display. You mentioned the influx of technology, and I would add to that the comfort level that folks are having now with technology. And some of that is older generations getting used to technology. The other part of that is as the next generation is coming up, they've grown up with technology. What do you, all of that mixed in there, is all of that what's driving the industry, or is there some other factor that's driving what both you and Brock see as kind of growth in the industry?
Well, I think it's that, but there's also just a general volume of everybody wants to be ready for what's next. And, the meetings and the different events that I've attended over the last 6 months, whether it's, the people talking about what's next in IoT or what's next on, video conferencing, or what's the next thing on signage. There's just so much technology advancements, and the companies that are that obviously don't want to fall behind are on the forefront of that and trying to take advantage of that.
All right, very good.
Tim, I think it's an evolution in human behavior.
Okay.
We're having more meetings, but those meetings aren't formal sit down with a binder full of papers kind of meetings. We're having a meeting right now. It just happens to be being recorded for other people to watch in the future. Well, this is happening every day. Corporations are having collaborative gatherings. They're sharing information. They're making reports. And folks in another time zone or perhaps on another continent that couldn't attend that meeting are watching it later. It's occurring all the time, using exactly, the same kind of a vehicle that we're using now with Hangouts, using Skype for Business, using consumer grade Skype, using some of the fancier virtual meeting rooms. So part of it is that the generational shift, the adoption of technology by, digital natives and Gen X's, Gen Y's, Gen Z's, has pushed up through the workplace. The foundational change has actually occurred within the IT departments. Once upon a time, IT were the protectors of the corporate fortress. Yep. And now they are servants of what an enterprise needs to do in order to speed up decision-making cycles and get things happening. And as soon as you need to have a meeting with somebody who's 1,000 miles away, you need a camera, you need a microphone, you need a screen to see them on. And if you're going to do that face-to-face like we're doing now, wonderful. If you're going to do it in a group of 4 or 6 or 8 or 18 people, that's where the audiovisual industry comes in. We are as much conferencing people now as we are audiovisual people. And And it's fantastic. We're helping people do what they do.
Well, that's a very nice transition into our next story, actually. And that's how to sell to the CIO and the IT managers. Almost things like I paid Brock for that. Here we go. This is from Samantha Osowski from avnetwork.com. And I'm going to read a quote she says. She said, presenting the CIO or other C-suite prospects is a different story. Quote, unquote, refining your message to focus on how the service will impact the organization, not on the technicalities, will resonate better with the C-level. Mr. McGinnis, we will start with you on this. How do you sell to the aforementioned IT department, the CIO, the CTO, when you're an integrator?
So sales 101.
Okay.
Ed may be actually able to speak to this at least as well, if not better than I can, because he's a heck of a salesperson. Sales 101 is being able to determine what kind of buyer that you're sitting in front of. Are you sitting in front of a detail person? Are you sitting in front of somebody who wants to hear about what the product does rather than what it is? And I think that's what the blog was all about. One of the first sales training courses that I took probably wasn't in the 70s. It was probably in the 80s. But it talked about how to sell drill bits by helping people understand the magnitude of the hole that they would create. People don't want drill bits. They want holes. CIOs don't want AV systems. They want what AV systems do. And I really think that that was the point that the blog was attempting to communicate. It is something, I guess, that you can teach salespeople, but most of us have learned this over time, or it comes naturally to us. You assess the buyer, you assess what their particular needs are. IT managers often want a lot of detail. Pages and pages and pages of RFP detail, whereas their bosses want to know the price and what the risks are, because often it's all about the risk, and they want to know what the benefits are, because they've got to walk into a finance or a capital allocation meeting and convince the others within their corporation that this is the best thing to spend that money on right now. That's what we try and do.
Okay, so let me understand. Is it more along the lines of understanding the person as opposed to the position?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Ed, it's all about the person.
All about the person. All right, Ed.
I agree 100%, Brock. I'm ready to talk?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. No, thanks, Brock. You've hit the nail on the head. It's about putting yourself in their shoes and giving them what they need. On the CIO type of C-level management, when you're selling to, they need to know what the overall efficiencies are, you know, what it's going to achieve and what the benefits are on a high level, right? The end user experience and things like that. With the IT managers, I deal a lot with technical managers all the time. And for them, it's about technical points, selling points, you know, whether it's, what questions, technical questions like bandwidth and latency and things like that we're always addressing. And obviously they need something easy to use and easy to implement. But the high level side when it comes to management is, you know, is it affordable and how fast can we implement it? And is it suitable? Will it make the organization productive, right? So, you know, you hit the nail on the head again. You know, it's all about analyzing who you're talking to and giving them the solution that they need.
Let me ask you, go ahead, Brock.
Well, what I was going to say, Tim, is that this is not just about selling. This is about communicating.
Okay.
Everybody learns differently. I learn by reading. I'm old school. My son learns by watching videos. My wife learns by listening to people. And so whether we're training our staff, you know, whether we're, even when we're communicating within the family, finding ways to do that the most effectively based on what the listener needs and the listener responds to. And it's a real challenge in today's business community, because mostly, and I'm sure Ed has many of the same frustrations, we'd love to be able to sit down in front of that CIO, but that CIO doesn't have time to see us.
This is more about the person and how it and how they learn and how they communicate. So how do you find that out if they don't have time to see you, if they don't have time to talk with you, if they want you to write, you know, a 100-page dissertation on why you should be able allowed to sell to them? How do you find out how they buy?
It may be have been the point of the blog, Tim. Is that you have to make an assumption, a generic assumption, that a CIO wants to talk about value and wants to talk about impact and outcomes, and an IT manager wants to talk about the details and the line item pricing and all of that kind of thing. I think that was likely what she was addressing in her blog. Right. It's just a lousy way to sell.
And here's the thing. So, you know, I am the salesperson for Aviation, and I've learned a lot in the last year. I just got a notification the other day on Facebook that last week was my first, a year ago Monday was my 1 year anniversary, I guess is the best way to put this. And I have learned so much about sales and communication in the last year. It's not even funny. And again, people like Brock have helped me out along the way. And I have learned that regardless of the title, everybody is different. And Brock made that point. Everybody is different. And what they're looking for is different. I'm in the process right now of reading a book called Same Side Selling. A gentleman by the name of Ian Altman, actually, who will be at the AV Executive Conference at Infocom next month. And the reason I'm reading is because we did a podcast for them, and what he was talking about struck a chord with me so significantly that I went out on Amazon and bought the book. And that's the idea of you're selling solutions, to Brock's point about the drill bits. Here's the thing, though. If what you're selling doesn't resonate with them, then you should be, first of all, honest with yourself, but also honest with them and say, you know what, look, this is what we do, right? We do X, Y, and Z. If that's not what you need and you figure that out through discussion, great, awesome, groovy. Here's some folks over here that may be able to help you out because we're not it, right? If you need a quarter inch hole drilled into your, you know, boards and I sell, I know, sanders, then I'm not for you. You know, Ed's for you. Ed sells great drill bits. But I guess what I'm drilling, no pun intended, what I'm drilling into here is how do you have that conversation? How do you get to that person when they're looking for an RFP, right? They want a piece of paper, they want an email, they want a video, they want a short synopsis. How do you get to that table to have that conversation? Neither
blank
of you,
yes. Stares.
Yeah, I was going to say, neither of you want to step on that.
I would like to actually bring that in, and yep. It's a great point. You know, when Brock just mentioned, you know, it's boring, it's bland when you're just talking about facts and figures.
Yes.
Right? This is what it does. This is how it's going to, you know, the cost or the numbers or all that stuff, right? And, you know, as face-to-face sales, I've learned belly-to-belly sales for the last, you know, 15, 20 years I've been doing. And I have seen that when you're in front of somebody, you're getting their feedback, you're understanding and listening to what their needs and requirements are. And if in my power, I believe that this is something that I can help the customer with, right? I'm gonna convince them because I know it's good for them, right? It'll solve their problem. It'll help them with a solution, and they would need it, right? Otherwise, they will have an unsolved problem. And
And that's they'll be dissatisfied with you and the entire system.
Exactly. So again, if we don't have a solution for them, then you know we must. I hate to leave a customer empty. We're a hardware manufacturer. We're not an integrator where we can say, okay, if this product isn't working, let's get another one from another manufacturer, right? So I've done it before where I've said, you know, there's another manufacturer out there, and if that product works for you, that's better, because it's not about us, it's about the customer solution, right? They have to be satisfied. And that's brought us a lot of business back, because they know that we're going to be honest with them, and we're going to give them a solution that works for them, and we're going to stand behind it, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to believe in it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Go ahead, Ned. Go ahead, sir.
I will jump in. Tim, sales, and I may have said this to you, sales is simply a process of helping someone get what they want, what they need, or what they ought to have. That's all it is. And when you're sitting in front of a potential customer and have that attitude, that comes through, you know, very, very clearly to the customer. As a sales process, it's really one of finding out what it is they want, or what they need, or what they ought to have. There's there's no stress in that, Tim. I know that this has been a new role for you, because you're considering yourself a salesperson. But you know, when you approach somebody like Ed and say, Ed, I think that it would be fantastic if your company became an underwriter for AV Nation. You're also at the same time meeting one of Ed's needs.
Yeah.
Avenview needs to get their name out to the audiovisual community. We in Canada know who they are. They've been in business here a long time, and they make great product. But there's a whole wide world of AV people that have never heard of Avenview or had an opportunity to hear what Ed has to say about his products. So, you know, when you ask Ed that question, and to which I understand Ed said yes, which I think is a fantastic thing, you're meeting Ed's needs. You're giving him something. It's what we all do. So when we're sitting in front of any given buyer, RFP or non-RFP, but if we have an opportunity to sit in front, we're really just trying to figure out what that person needs. And we're going to, if I don't have anything that's going to make a customer happy, if for example, I find myself at a meeting where a client needs absolutely the lowest price, I'm in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Because that's not what our business is. Our business is quality, our business is service, but it sure as heck isn't about being cheapest. So I say thank you very much. I can't help you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys. Last one here, and I'll let you get on your weekend. It comes to us from Innovate on the Net, and it's a UK publication that serves the market. And there's no story here for me to show up. There's a video actually, and it's a pretty well done interview with a bunch of folks. But the question caught me off guard, and I want to ask you, and Ed, we'll start with you. The question is simply this: what would you change about the pro AV market? So, Mr. Ed, what would you change about the AV market?
So when I was contemplating reading this, listening to this video, I was thinking that the point of view of the integrator, and Brock, you would be best to comment on this, is that you're sitting in the middle of the whole picture, right? As an integrator, you're dealing with the vendors, you're dealing with the customer, so you're the link you're the glue that's getting everybody together. So out of having that collaboration, you're the center key. And communication, I believe, is the number one is the number one secret sauce, is more collaboration, between integrators, project managers, between IT security and the manufacturer. So all these things, once they come together, if there was a platform or if there was a standard or something that would come about to help, I think there's still room for a lot of players to come in and help in that collaboration piece.
All right, very good. Mr. McGinnis, you'll have the last word on this. What would you change about the AV market?
It's an interesting question. The biggest thing that needs to change is how we think about ourselves. There are so many small businesses in audiovisual, and so many of the people that practice AV, they started with a tool belt and a van, and they've evolved into bigger businesses. There are also a lot of very small manufacturers,
yeah.
And you start from making one or two or five products, maybe in a garage at the house, and then evolve to being, a larger manufacturer. And we're pretty small-minded. The manufacturers are small-minded. Many of the companies, many of the individuals involved are small-minded. We're not big business people. And as a result, I think that we limit a lot of the things that we're able to do. I believe every year we're getting a little bit more professional, and we're getting a little bit more perhaps like the IT industry or some other elements of the electronics industry. Tim, it's not about what would I change. It's about what has to change.
You said it has to change. What happens if it doesn't?
What happens if it doesn't change?
I don't think it is status quo. That's why I wanted to ask the question.
I don't think it is status quo either. I think we'll be subsumed by the IT industry. They'll just absorb us in. And the quality of the things that we do so much better than they do, on-site service, good audio, good visuals, and creativity, which the IT industry doesn't have a lot of,
no.
In terms of communication, that all of that will be lost, and we'll all just be, crimping RJ45 connectors on things. Surface Hub is kind of a start to that.
All right.
So I think we got to change.
I think I agree with you. So, all right. That's going to do it. Ed, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for having me. And nice seeing you again, Brock. I'll probably be seeing you in a couple of weeks as well. I'll be in Atlanta.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. Good to hear. Yeah. Since we never get to see each other in Toronto.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're two blocks away from each other, and they're going to go to Atlanta to see each other. So, how do people find you or AvonView?
So, AvonView.com. My email is Edmund@AvonView.com, and my Twitter handle is EdmundC and @AvonView.
All right, very good. Mr. McGinnis, thank you, sir, as always.
Always good to talk to you, Tim.
Absolutely. How do people find you and or Westbury National?
Oh, we're at westbury.com, and I'm available on Twitter at Brock McGinnis. I'm sure if they need to track me down, they'll find me in one of those two places.
Yeah, a very very good Twitter.
In the upcoming weeks, I get to attend the Total Technology Summit, which will be a lot of fun. And the following week, Infocom's AVEC conference, which I am really looking forward to this year. They've got a super speakers, list of speakers set up, larger group of attendees. This is the first time that AVEC has been combined with Infocom's live events group, and it's going to be I believe an epic kind of a conference.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mentioned the book I'm reading now. Ian Altman is one of those speakers who will be there at that event. I'll join you at AVEC next week. If you're listening to this sometime in the week of the 24th and you're in New York, I will be at the New York Digital Science Week. Check us out. If you can't come by or you're nowhere near New York, you can watch us live twice next week. It's crazy. On Monday, we'll be broadcasting live from Times Square, thanks to the good folks at Dectronics. Yeah. It was awesome last year. It was a good time. We'll do the same thing in the same place as last year. Going to Coffee and Controversy with the Digital Science Federation. And then Wednesday, our second live show will be broadcasting live from the Christie Experiential Networks. So check that out if you would, please. Also check out our website, avianation.tv. Mr. Tucker mentioned the fact that rolled this out last week. We are doing our first annual Aviation Awards. All listener-based, all viewer-based. Go by, tell us what you think. Right now is the nomination process. The month of December will be the actual voting, so check that out also. And our other podcasts, we've got one on residential, a brand new State of Control just posted. We have a new EdTech coming down the line, so all those are also available on the website, avianation.tv. avianation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for watching. This
Take care. Have
AV Week.